Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The subject for this week is spiritual lessons to be learned in the recent impeachment trial of President Trump, along with the latest revelations concerning election fraud. I probably won't get to everything in this half hour, but let's just start off with some scripture and get right to the point. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. A wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but a foolish man's heart directs him toward the left. The principle in this verse is what we're seeing in Washington, where there is a right and a left, not just two parties, but there is a leftist way of thinking and a conservative right way of thinking. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. There's the counsel of the wicked, the path of sinners, the seat of the scoffers, and there is the law of the Lord. Psalm 1:6, there is the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, there is the path of the righteous that is light, and there is the way of the wicked that is darkness. And in Jesus' day, this is all played out for us in the Gospels. For some, Jesus was the Savior. For others, he was a troublemaker, an insurrectionist, an imposter, a false teacher. And what's really amazing is that there are two groups living in two different universes of values and conclusions. And it's one thing to read about this in the Bible. It's a whole other thing to experience this in our own day, at work, in our family, in politics. It really baffles the mind to see how two seemingly intelligent people with pretty much the same information can come up with completely different conclusions. In an interview after the impeachment trial, Trump's main lawyer, Van de Ven, railed against the biased reporting in media, saying that one news network is saying that it's raining, while the other news network is saying that the sun is shining, metaphorically speaking. And I'm sure he was referring to the different reporting between Fox News and CNN. Fox is defending the president, showing all of the hypocrisy of the left, while CNN is trying to defend and bolster the impeachment and insurrection argument. Well, another way of describing this is half of America sees the sky as blue, and the other half is saying that the sky is green. But I wish it was just about the sky. It's a culture war over what is right and wrong. And in this, there are completely different values. The culture war is due to a completely different way of thinking, a completely different way of seeing the world. And it goes way beyond just a battle over conclusions. Pro-life versus pro-choice, gender is biological versus gender is choice, or Trump is a saint versus Trump is evil. There is a whole body of values and ideas that lead people to these conflicting conclusions. And this is what we often miss. We see and argue only those conclusions, and we miss the entire way of thinking that leads people to those opposing conclusions. We just fail to realize how worldviews affect the conclusions that people come to. Ecclesiastes 10:2 again. A wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him toward the left. And this is why we have believers and atheists in the world. Christians versus humanists, communists versus capitalists, totalitarians versus Republicans, meat eaters versus vegans, global warming is a crisis of our day versus global warming is a sham. And the list of conflicts goes on. And recognize that this is not just a difference in information. This is a moral, spiritual divide. A secular intellectual, not believing in the moral and the spiritual, would explain the differences in people, in values, in terms of different education or different needs and goals. You know, the farmer has a different education than the lawyer in the city. So the farmer has one set of needs and the lawyer has another. So the secular answer is that if we could all just be educated, we would all have the same information and we could all get along. And if people don't agree with the spirit of the age, it must be because they're uninformed or stupid. Well, I wish it was that easy. But our moral spiritual condition determines how we will interpret all information, and it determines the information we will either accept or deny. So that there are educated people on both sides of every argument. Now, sometimes the reason for differing opinions does have to do with information or lack thereof. But the spiritual moral factor is the real issue. The Bible doesn't see mankind's problem as an information problem, but as a spiritual moral problem. And if the spiritual moral problems in the heart are taken care of, the information problems will take care of themselves. So let me just explain graphically how one's worldview affects one's conclusions. Imagine two foundations. One labeled, God is God, He is the authority, and the other foundation labeled, man is God, or I am God, or I get to call the shots. Now, take a person who lives upon the God is God foundation. In this person's mind, ethics and justice are built upon what comports with the law of God, written in Scripture, and upon the conscience, what is called the law of nature and nature's God. I mean, even if this individual doesn't have a full understanding of biblical law, this person is starting off with the assumption that his opinions are not the supreme judge. There is a higher authority over him. What is natural to him may not be right. And that attitude in those who build their thought processes on the law of God makes all the difference in the way these people see the world. Now, take the person who lives upon the foundation of, I am God. Or at least, you know, I can do my own thing. I need to believe in myself. For him, what is justice and righteousness will be based on whatever is good for him. Whatever is convenient for him. Whatever seems to help mankind have a better life. So therefore, abortion is okay because the ultimate value is personal relief from unwanted responsibilities. Homosexuality, same-sex marriage, gender bending is fine because people get to do what they want to do. So when someone objects to their lawlessness and immoral behavior, they will say, no, I am not the immoral one. You are the immoral one. I am being perfectly just and fair because according to their worldview, their position is consistent, just, and fair. Because their foundation for right and wrong is not what God says, but what is good for them. Now, these people who build their worldview on the foundation of man and not God may actually believe in God. They might even talk of God. At Mount Sinai, they made an image of a golden calf and said, "This is Jehovah God who brought you up from the land of Egypt." And this God allows people to party and commit immorality. So these people who build their lives on man, not God, often speak of God. But they believe in a God whose main objective is to give man freedom. He wants to affirm and bless your desires. So it may look like they have God in their foundation, the foundation of their worldview, but it's a different God. It's a God of their own making, and hence, their foundation really is man, not God. At Biden's inauguration ceremony, there's a lot of talk about God. Biden had a time of silent prayer. He quoted Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning." I think that meant for them that they were weeping when Trump was president, but now that Biden is president, there's joy. And at the inauguration, Garth Brooks gets up and sings Amazing Grace and has the audience join him in repeating the first verse. And true Christians watching this were experiencing all sorts of cognitive dissonance. I mean, how can this party of abortion, sodomy, legalized drugs, globalism, etc. be singing Amazing Grace? As it says in the Psalms, how can they sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Well, because when your worldview is on a different foundation, when you believe that the God who is a God who affirms you and lets you do whatever is convenient for you, When you sing, I was once blind, but now I see, that means to you, I was once a Republican, now I'm a Democrat. Or that means I used to hold to all of those silly, old-fashioned morals, but now I'm enlightened. I now see that God wants to affirm my desires. Oh, and I love that God. And those biblical prophets and those Christian fundamentalists who taught morality, pro-life, you know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not lie with men like you lie with a woman. And in the beginning, God made them male and female. That God must be a false, made-up God. Because God could not possibly be that way in their minds. Then Garth Brooks, after skipping the second and fourth stanzas of Amazing Grace, jumped into the final verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, these people actually believe if there is a heaven, they will be there. Jesus had something to say about this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And that's the key point. They made a profession of God, but in practice, they were lawless. They never followed the law of God. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. So which God were they professing? Well, it wasn't the true God, but a God of their own making. Because in their desire to be autonomous from the law of God, they have jumped to the conclusion that if there is a God, he would agree with me. Because the foundation for their life is really not upon God, but upon themselves. And in Matthew chapter 7, notice how these people will be shocked when they discover they are rejected by God. Because when your worldview is on the wrong foundation, everything seems valid and consistent and ethical. But the foundation is wrong. And all values built upon a wrong foundation are wrong. It is a house built upon sand. As Jesus later goes on to explain in the parable of the man who built his house upon the rock versus the one who built his house upon the sand. So that is why these people end up in a completely different moral universe than biblical Christianity. And this is why they begin to justify the genocide of infants. Remember the watershed illustration? Two drops of rain fall in the Rockies. The one on the west slope goes toward the Pacific. The one on the east coast goes toward the Atlantic. These two drops may start off only inches away from each other, but because they're on different slopes, eventually, after months and years, they're 3,000 miles apart. Well, that's the way human morality also works. If people start on different foundations, soon they're going to be 3,000 miles apart morally. Now we need to get into this a little bit more. Biblically, the moral decision to build one's life on the foundation of man versus God is not simply an intellectual decision. The sinful state of being in natural, unsaved man is to have self on the throne. This is every man's default condition. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, every man is spiritually dead in his trespasses and his sins. He doesn't want for God to be in charge. Ephesians 2, 2, every man walks according to this world, according to Satan, the prince of the power of the air. Every man is a willing citizen of Satan's kingdom. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Therefore, every man indulges in the desires of the flesh and of his own mind, his own wishes. And people are not simply making a mistake or being misinformed. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. They are by their very nature children of God's wrath. So in this condition of starting on the wrong ethical foundation, it is a matter of one's very soul, one's heart, one's very nature. And with this, there's a deception that comes with being in this condition. As I mentioned, on the wrong foundation, these people sincerely believe they are principled and ethical because they're seeing everything through the colored glasses of their wrong worldview. And so the Bible speaks often of this deception. Ephesians 4:18, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they didn't receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Romans 1, 21. Their foolish hearts are darkened. And Jesus said, there are the blind leading the blind. And so this is why in 2 Timothy 2, 25, God must grant people repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. It truly takes an act of God to get someone to acknowledge his sin and to choose to switch his mindset off of the foundation of I am God to God is God. And even after conversion, the application of what it means to switch foundations may take some time. So everything that we're seeing in the news is more than just politics. There's a battle between two moral foundations, two worldviews that are built upon two different foundations. And if we understand the spiritual anatomy of all this, we can understand how the opposing parties live in different universes, where evil is being called good and good is being called evil. Don't let that moral confusion and relativism disturb you. Heard so many people say recently, I don't even know what to believe anymore. Well, we need to expect that moral confusion in our world. We need to expect ungodly people to think they're virtuous. We need to expect bias, fake news. We need to expect one group to hate Trump and another group to love Trump. We need to expect one group to say that the Capitol rallies and even the riots on January 6th are probably a good thing. I mean, these corrupt politicians needed a good shakedown. And another group to say this was a horrible, undemocratic insurrection. So let's talk about the political application of all of this bias, this worldview difference. Politics is the social venue through which the world rebels against God. And in politics, this worldview bias is everywhere. Did you ever read King George's letter to the colonists, August 1775, a proclamation for suppressing rebellion and sedition? Yeah, you probably missed that one in history class. At the Winship's house, we've been watching the recent HBO series on John Adams, and they have a scene where this document is read to the Continental Congress in Philadelphia, and King George's words sound like the Democrats in this impeachment trial last week. The Democrats are using the same language against Trump and Trump supporters that King George used against our American founding fathers. King George called them dangerous and ill-designed men, forgetting their allegiance to the king that sustains and protects them. They have disturbed the public peace. They are engaged in open and avowed rebellion. They have arrayed themselves in a hostile manner against the execution of the law. And this rebellion is being encouraged by traitors. So Britain will do all in its power to bring these traitors to justice, and that everyone in the colonies should aid in withstanding and suppressing this rebellion. And they should turn in everyone involved. Well, that just goes to show you that one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. Because so often the offense taken is not based upon principle, but upon how much one's individual power and job is being threatened. King George didn't side with the colonists because his power was being threatened. So, this last week, the Democrats, the House impeachment managers and their lawyers were saying, quote, President Trump incited and planned an insurrection against the government, that his false claim of election fraud was the drumbeat he used to create a riot, that, quote, he knew he would lose on election day, so he made up the lie of election fraud, and that Trump was trying to subvert the Constitution. And in their worldview, they totally believe this depiction of the events of January 6th. I mean, for them, it could not possibly be in their minds that the election was stolen and the people were rightfully angry. They certainly don't see it that way. Well, then Trump's lawyers made the case on Friday, February 12th, and they completely destroyed the arguments made by the Democrats. They explained how these Democratic lawyers didn't even cite or know the law, quote, they acted like first-year law students. Trump lawyers explained that Trump had First Amendment rights to say everything he said. And then Trump's lawyer showed video of Democrats using the exact same language as Trump in their own political speeches. And Trump's lawyer showed how the Democrats edited evidence to make it look bad for Trump, which is completely against the law. And I love this line from one of Trump's lawyers. Falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus. Meaning false in one thing, false in everything. And he said, if the Democrats are trying to fool you on this, what else are they trying to fool you on? But what was really fascinating is how these people's worldviews affected the way they saw the situation. How they prosecuted Trump, but ignored the guilty. Everything was Trump's fault. What is happening here is that they're blaming the president and his supporters for wanting to find out the truth. And they see themselves as the innocent victims. Why? Because they believe the media narrative that there is no such thing as election fraud. So let me conclude by making a statement I've been trying to make for the last 2 months. This whole case against President Trump by the left, and even by Mitch McConnell and the 7 Republican senators who voted to impeach Trump, is all based on an a priori assumption that there was no election fraud. Because if election fraud is true, then Trump and his supporters at the rally were all patriots, upholding the Constitution and saving the country. And the Capitol break-in would then only be seen as a minor, insignificant infraction in the light of the seriousness of the Democratic Party cheating in the election and putting into power an illegitimate president. In fact, if election fraud is true, Congress should have been relieved that there was not more damage and bloodshed. The whole error in the impeachment trial was in burying the real issue, election fraud. No other discussion can take place. No other evaluation of the rightness or wrongness of the Capitol break-in can be determined until the case for election fraud is thoroughly looked into. But this is what politicians and the media are completely ignoring. So in my YouTube this week, I will briefly discuss the evidences of election fraud, because nothing else can be judged until the case for election fraud has really been established. And really, any rational person seeing the evidence has to conclude this election was stolen. Now, I'm not talking about hearsay evidence or affidavits or some of the kooky conspiracy theories. I'm referring to actual hard evidence of computer switching votes, determined by legitimate investigators. Even what we saw with our very eyes on election night. The evidence is so conclusive that it's no wonder the political right is enraged, and it's no wonder the Democrats are surrounding Washington with 15,000 National Guardsmen. But as I said, this will all be for my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. And since YouTube is now taking down my programs, I've started a new channel on the video platform Rumble. Many other conservative voices are going to that platform. And since this week I'll be talking about election fraud, I expect YouTube to take down this week's video. So go to rumble.com. In the search bar, switch it from video search to channel search, and type in God and Country Biblical Exposition, and there you'll see my channel. Thanks for listening today. The website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can always get the links to the extended video program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, take away our blindness and put us on the right foundation, the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we build our lives upon that rock. In his name we pray. Amen.